Revelation for about three or four different times now to students, but I've never dared to preach from it. There are different reasons for that. One of the reasons is that when I was a kid in youth group growing up, I can remember the youth leaders putting on movies, talking about the end of the world. And they grew this fear in me. Also, when Stephen and I were missionaries and we were going around speaking in different churches and we were preparing to go to Russia, one of the questions that we commonly got was not necessarily, what are you going to be doing in Russia, but where do you think Russia fits into the Bible? Where does Russia fit into the end times? There's a reason why I haven't preached from Revelation before. And in case you're filled with trepidation, I want to assure you I'm not going to be taking any strange approaches as we talk about Revelation. You know, and if I'd been smart, probably I would have announced this and we would have had more people here, because people always seem to flock because they want to hear about Revelation. They want to hear about the end times. But we're going to take a different approach to Revelation. Yes, it's about the end times. It's about the culmination of history. You know, this whole book, the Bible, is the story of God. And Revelation is the last book, the last chapter of the Bible. And it's the culmination of Scripture. Revelation begins this way in Revelation chapter 1, it begins this way. It says, the revelation from or of Jesus Christ. And that's really what we're going to focus on as we move through Revelation. Revelation is the revelation of or from Jesus Christ. Revelation teaches us about who Jesus is. And because it teaches us about who Jesus is and who God is, Revelation also teaches us about who we are. Have you ever wondered about who you are? What your purpose is? What our purpose is as a church? I'm not talking just about Hope Wesleyan Church here. I'm talking about the church around the world, throughout time and space. What is the purpose of the church? Revelation speaks to all of these things. You guys ever heard of apocalyptic literature? Or maybe you've heard of the apocalypse? What do you think of when you hear the word apocalypse? End of everything. What's that? Destruction. What if I was to tell you that the word apocalypse has nothing to do with those things? You know what the word of apocalypse means? It means revelation. Apocalypse, or apocalypsis like they say in Greek, it's the pulling back of the curtain. Revelation was written to people who Christians who had experienced martyrdom, Christians who were experiencing persecution. Some of them had experienced extreme persecution. Some of them not as much. Some of them were just distracted by the Roman state. And they saw all of these things that the Roman state offered. And they're like, oh, this is tempting. And Revelation is written to pull back the curtain and allow people who are in the midst of suffering, who are in the midst of persecution, who are tempted to perhaps turn their backs on Christianity and walk away. It's written to pull back the curtain and allow these people who are under extreme pressure to see what is going on in the heavenlies. Because there's the here and the now. Those things that we can see. But there are other things going on. And Revelation pulls back the curtain. And it's meant to be a word of encouragement to people who are under persecution. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel, Jesus' angel, to the servant John, who testifies to everything he saw. We'll talk about John next week. That is the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written, because the time is near. Now, there are different ways of hearing that word near. But what I'd invite you to hear is it's imminent. Someday, Jesus will come back. We don't know when. We're not going to get into predicting when. But someday, Jesus will come back. So this book called Revelation, we've talked before about how there are different types of literature within the Bible. You know, there's history, there are the Gospels, there's law, there's poetry, there's prophecy, there's apocalyptic literature. There's all these different kinds of literature. Revelation is three main types of literature, and that affects how we read it and how we understand it. It's apocalyptic literature. It's literature that is written to people who are under extreme pressure, who are being persecuted. It's meant to pull back the curtain and allow them to see what's going on in the heavenlies and to be encouraged and to persevere. It's also prophecy. It's prophetic literature. Now, when you hear the word prophecy, what do you think of? Things to come. Do you know that prophecy actually consists of two different things? Prophecy is about, it's about foretelling, talking about the future, talking about those things that are to come. And Revelation mentions that, right? But do you know what the larger piece of prophecy is about? It's not so much about foretelling. We tend to get really hung up here. We tend to get hung up on trying to figure out what's going to happen. And that's how we tend to view prophecy. But the primary purpose of prophecy is not foretelling. The primary purpose of prophecy is actually forthtelling. When I foretell something, I'm not foretelling. I'm not predicting something. I'm not talking about something that's so much something that's going to happen. I'm proclaiming the truth of God. Do you see the difference? Prophecy, yes, it's about foretelling, but this is only a small piece of it. The bigger purpose of prophecy is forthtelling. It's proclaiming the truth of God, the truths of God. So when we talk about prophecy anywhere in the Bible, we tend to get hung up here, but the emphasis should be here on forthtelling, on proclaiming the truths of God. And Revelation proclaims the truths of God. It tells us about who God is. It tells us about God's values. It tells us about God's mind and his heart. It tells us about what he expects of us. So Revelation is apocalyptic literature. It's prophetic literature. There's some foretelling, but it's also mostly forthtelling. And Revelation is also a letter. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 4, it says this. It says John. And we're going to talk about John next week. But it says John to the seven churches in the province of Asia. John is the person who wrote this letter. And he wrote it to the seven churches in the province of Asia. He wrote it to churches into a group of churches. There were more churches than just those seven in Asia. But he wrote it to this, you know, this group of churches in Asia, people that he knew and he loved. He said, "Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come." He begins the letter in a way that is similar to the way that Paul begins his letters, grace and peace. He's greeting the churches. "Grace and peace to you from him who is and was and who is to come," from God. You know, throughout Scripture, God refers to himself as, "I am who I am." Here John defines God a little bit more, and he says, he's the one who was and is to come. He has no end. He has no beginning. God Almighty. "Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne." It's another way of speaking of the Holy Spirit. So mention God the Father, God the Spirit, and then he talks about God the Son. And from Jesus Christ, and he describes Jesus in three ways. In three ways that we haven't necessarily heard Jesus described about before. If we look back over the last couple months here at Hope, we spent a lot of time in Acts, right? And then after Easter, we spent time focusing on the risen Christ. You know, and the fact that, you know, you could actually touch him. When God raised Jesus from the dead, he didn't just raise his spirit, he raised his body. Jesus was physically raised from the dead. And then on Pentecost Sunday, well, before Pentecost Sunday, on Ascension Sunday, Jesus ascended. We celebrate how Jesus ascended into heaven and now sits at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And we could think the story ends there, but the story goes on in Revelation. And Revelation describes the risen and ascended Christ. It describes Jesus sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven. It describes him this way. It says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness." When you hear the word witness, what do you think of? What's that? Seeing something happen? Yeah. What else? Testifying to the truth? I think both those things. And also someone who's in this sense, living a faithful life. Living a life that is faithful to God, that is obedient to God. Who is the faithful witness, the one who is living in obedience to God. Also describes him as the firstborn from the dead. Jesus died. Jesus rose. Because Jesus died and Jesus rose, he invites us to die with him. In baptism, we go under the water, symbolic of dying to ourselves, dying to our old self. Then when we come up out of the water, it's symbolic of being raised with Christ. Jesus is the firstborn from the dead. He rose from the dead. He was victorious over death. He was victorious over evil. He was victorious over sin. The faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Have you ever thought of Jesus as the ruler of the kings of the earth? You ever thought of Jesus as the ruler of Donald Trump? Have you ever thought of Jesus as the ruler of Vladimir Putin? Guess what? He is. He's in charge. Not them. They might think they are, but he's in charge. And the ruler of the kings of the earth. John goes on, and now he's giving glory to God. He says, "To him who loves us describing Jesus. Jesus loves us. The ruler of the kings of the world loves us. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood. Jesus, when he died on the cross, something shifted in the heavenlies. When Jesus died on the cross, it wasn't just this limited action. Something shifted in the cosmos. Jesus' death on the cross changed human history. It changed not just the world, but it changed the whole cosmos. You ever looked up at the stars? Kind of hard to see them sometimes, isn't it? But you know, if you're in a really dark place and you begin to see stars that you've never seen before, I mean, the cosmos is huge. When Jesus died on the cross, he changed the cosmos. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and listen to this part, and has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father. To him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. John is giving glory to Jesus. He describes him as worshiping him because of his love, because he's freed us from our sins by his blood. And then he says something that maybe a lot of us don't realize. Says he, and he's made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. Did you know that we as a church, not just Hope, but as the wider church, so think people all around the world throughout time and space, that Jesus is making us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his Father. What's all of Scripture moving towards? It's moving towards that. It's moving towards Jesus on the throne and us as a kingdom of priests, a royal nation, it says in Hebrews, for the purpose of serving God the Father. You think your life is insignificant? You think you're called to small things? No. We're called to cosmic things. Not because of us, not because there's anything good in us, but because of Jesus and what Jesus did for us on the cross. He freed us to be a kingdom of priests. He died to free us from our sins, that we might be a kingdom of priests, that we might be about his business, that we might be about his kingdom. When Jesus died, something cosmic happened. And it changes everything. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. And then John says this. He says, look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. Every eye will see him. And all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. Jesus is coming back. John tells us it will be soon. We don't know when it will be, but we know it's imminent. It's going to happen. Jesus is coming back. Look, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all peoples on earth will mourn because of him. When Jesus returns, it'll be a time of rejoicing, and yet it will also be a time of weeping. Then John says, so shall it be. Amen. Verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega. You heard of the ABCs? Alpha is the first letter in the Greek alphabet. Omega is the last letter in the Greek alphabet. like Jesus or God is saying, I am the A, I'm the first, and I'm the Z, I'm the last. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end. I am, I was, I am, I always will be. The one who is, who was, who is, and is to come. I am the Alpha and Omega, the Lord God, who was, who is and was and who is to come, the Almighty. So I want to leave us with this question to ponder. And as you go into this week, and we're going to come back to Revelation next week, I'd invite you to do something that maybe you've never done before. And that is that I'd invite you to sit down, and I'd invite you to read Revelation. Now, you could read it a chapter a day, or you could read it 5 chapters a day. But I'm going to invite you to do something different. I'm going to invite you to sit down, take a couple hours, might be able to do it in an hour, might need 3 or 4 or 5, I don't know. But I'd invite you to listen. You can listen on your phone, or you can actually read it. But I invite you to read Revelation through in one sitting. You know, you might get up and go to the bathroom. You might grab a cup of coffee or something like that. But I'd invite you to sit down and to actually read the whole book of Revelation through in one sitting. You know, there are some books of the Bible that we can read a little bit at a time. But I think there are two main books in the Bible that if we're going to have any idea of what's being said and any hope of understanding it, we've got to read it through in one sitting. We've got to sit down and read it through. One is Revelation, and the other one is Job. But I invite you to, if you've never done that before, I'd invite you to do it. Yeah, we can do it. You can do it. And it'll change the way you see and you understand Revelation. And I invite you to sit down this week sometime and read or listen to Revelation all the way through. All right. So that's kind of my challenge. Or if you want homework, that's my homework. But I want to leave us with this question. What does it mean for your life? What does it mean for our lives? What does it mean for us as a church, and not just Hope, but the wider church? What does it mean for us? If Jesus is the faithful witness, the one who was obedient to God, the Father, the firstborn of the dead, the one who defeated death and was raised from the dead. Firstborn implies that there's going to be others. Or it can also imply, you know, that he's like the ruler. And the ruler of the kings of the earth. You ever thought, again, of Jesus as the ruler of the kings of the earth? What does that mean for our lives? If Jesus is the ruler of the kings of the world, of the earth, Jesus is the one who is obedient to the Father. Jesus is the firstborn of the dead. What does that mean for our lives? I'll leave you with that. Let's pray.